All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're going way back to 1787 for a really fascinating case, Pollard v. Schaffer.
Ooh, 1787. That's early America stuff.
It is like right after the Revolution, Philadelphia. It is all about a property dispute, and this case is super important for understanding contract and property law in the US, especially when it comes to leases. So, for all you law students out there, this is a case you are going to want to know, and I think you'll find it's really relevant even today.
Yeah, especially with all the crazy stuff happening in the world today, wars, pandemics, makes you wonder how those things affect contracts.
Yeah, exactly. Unforeseen circumstances. How do you plan for that? Okay, so Pollard v. Schaffer. Damaged property right in the middle of Philadelphia. The British Army may have had something to do with that
Oh,
damage.
yeah, that makes sense. It was the Revolutionary War.
Right, so let's get into the facts. Pollard's the landlord, he owns the property, and Schaefer is the tenant, but he's actually taken over the lease from someone else. The lease has a covenant, that standard clause requiring the tenant to repair and maintain the
Like
property.
pretty standard stuff.
Yeah, so here's the twist. The property is messed up, likely from the war, and the lease is ending. Pollard sues Schaefer, saying, "Hey, you got to fix this damage before you leave."
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Even though the damage wasn't Schaefer's fault.
Exactly. Pollard's argument is basically, you're the current tenant. You inherited the lease. You inherited the responsibility.
I can see where both sides are coming from. It's tough. So, how did the Pennsylvania Supreme Court handle this?
Yeah, they had a couple of really big questions to figure out. First, was Schaefer, as the new tenant, the assignee, actually bound by the repair covenant made by the original tenant? Like, does that obligation just stick with the property?
Right, like does it run with the land? That's a key concept in property law.
Exactly. And the second question, maybe even more important here, was whether the damage caused by war, what they call public enemies, let Schaffer off the hook.
Because, I mean, how could he have prevented that?
Exactly. So first the court said, yes, these types of covenants do run with the land. Schaffer took on the lease. He took on the responsibility.
Okay, so that sets a big precedent. But what about the war damage?
That's where it gets interesting. The court said Schaffer didn't have to pay for the war damage. They said the damage caused by public enemies was an exception.
Wow, really? So even though the repair covenant usually transfers with the lease, in this case, it didn't.
Right. What they were saying was that this kind of damage, war damage, was not something that was reasonably foreseeable when the lease was signed. And it would be unfair to hold Schaffer responsible for something completely out of his control.
So they were basically saying, look, war is not a normal wear and tear situation. You can't expect someone to plan for that when they sign a lease.
Exactly. And the court specifically talked about conscience. They were saying that it would go against their conscience to force Schaefer to pay. They're using principles of equity, right? Like, what's fair?
That's pretty cool. So even back then, they were trying to make sure the law wasn't just about the black and white of a contract, but also about fairness and justice.
Right. And this is one of the early cases in the US that really establishes that idea.
It really shows how American legal thinking was developing at the time, moving away from just the strict letter of the law
Yeah.
and towards what's reasonable and just.
Exactly. But keep in mind, the court didn't let Schaffer completely off the hook. He still had to pay the rent. They said that obligation was separate and was more about just using the property, right?
Yeah.
Occupying the space.
So the court really tried to find a balance here.
They did. They looked at all these different factors to reach their decision. Like, did the original lease specifically talk about war damage? Could anyone have really seen this coming? Was there anything anyone could do to prevent the damage? It wasn't like Schaffer invited the British Army over.
No, probably not. So it's about fairness, about what the parties could reasonably expect.
Yeah. And this case has so many implications, even today, hundreds of years later. Think about force majeure clauses. Those clauses that deal with what happens if something totally unexpected happens.
Like a natural disaster, or as we've seen recently, a pandemic.
Yeah, a pandemic. It's like Pollard v. Schaffer is this really early example of why those clauses are so important.
By putting it in the contract, everyone knows what happens if something crazy happens, like a war or, a global pandemic.
Exactly. It protects both sides. No one has to rely on the court to decide what's fair because hopefully it's already written down. So, to all our law students out there, when you are drafting contracts, think about Pollard v. Schaffer. Be as specific as possible. Don't leave any room for doubt.
Yeah, because as we've seen, sometimes things happen that no one could have predicted, and when that happens, the courts might need to step in to make sure things are fair.
Absolutely. It's a great example of how law is always evolving. And it's not just about blindly following the rules. It's about finding justice.
It's a balancing act.
Yeah.
And Pollard v. Schaffer is a fantastic illustration of that.
It is. It's a great reminder that even though this case is from the 1700s, the principles are just as important today as they were back then. So, listeners, I hope this deep dive into Pollard v. Schaffer has given you some things to think about. How do we balance fairness and the letter of the law? How do we prepare for the unexpected in our contracts? How does the law protect us? And when do we need to be extra careful to protect ourselves? Thanks for joining us on the deep dive.